are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
All right, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to Radiant Culture. Hope everybody's had a good week. I'm Cookie Monster.
And I'm Biscuit.
Yes, Biscuit. What's going on?
Not much, man. Not much. We're here. We're still here.
We're here?
Yeah.
Are we back from Davos?
Yes, yes. We're open for business.
Open for business.
Yeah.
Anyway, so today we've got a hater in the house and a non-hater, right? No, today we've got some really, really, really cool guests with us. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Who are going to be helping us with our very, very interesting topic that we have today. So I'll let you ladies introduce yourselves.
I'm Dazzle, and okay. I'm the non-hater in the relationship.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, just for now. Position.
I'm Vui, a.k.a. Vui. No, AKA I've always wanted to Vuva. Have like an a.k.a. No, that's, you see, now you just went and told everyone.
Sorry.
No, Vui, yeah, and I'm the hater.
Ah, there you go. Thanks. Thanks for owning it. So, you know, I just think that when I look at social media and all of that, and I think it's been a huge blessing to humanity, right? I just think having Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of this has been a huge blessing. But the flip side also is that I think it's revealed aspects of our nature.
So we're talking about testifying versus showing off.
Mm-hmm.
Testifying is meant to be something that edifies people. It's meant to be something that invites other people into the desire of wanting to make something out of themselves. Whereas showing off is just kind of putting other people in a place where you are elevated above them.
Right.
And it's sort of like inaccessible to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you are like the diva with the big shades and all that, and mm-hmm. you're not really sending a positive message for other people, you're sort of trying to compensate for the things that are lacking in your life. And I think I just started a whole other discussion there.
But I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with like looking good on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times it can be mistaken for showing off. But the person watcho who's saying, oh, that person's showing off, you probably have a lot more self-esteem issues than you want to admit. Because, like, it's so easy to just look at someone and be like, oh, they're showing off, you know. But, like, why would you say that? Why would that be your go-to?
But isn't it all kind of showing off? Because very few people sit at their desk and says, I'm starting work now. No, it's always the best moments of your life. It's always the coolest things. It's always your new stuff. So yes, maybe not showing off in that, hey world, look at me, but kind of, hey world, look at me.
Okay, so Dazzle, you mentioned something that kind of got me thinking. You said that, I don't know if you said all the people, a lot of the people that post stuff or that show off, whatever, express themselves through social media, have what? A lack of something, self-esteem or something.
No, the people who post in a way that sort of denigrates other people.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
So uh-huh. It's not just, I look good in my shades, but if it's like, none of y'all look this good, or, you know,
or you can't afford these shades.
Like, yeah, something like that. That just basically puts other people down.
Mm-hmm.
I think it takes away from what you're really trying to do, because if something is good, we have eyes, we can see it's good.
What if they're like really confident and that's their way of expressing their confidence?
Well, it's up to them, but this is a discussion and that was used as an example that I was really just trying to make a point. So
okay.
We're not saying anything that's hard and fast yet, but there are examples that we can use and that was one that I chose.
Okay, yeah. It's cool.
Because I think I agree with Vui on that point. That it's really your fault. If I tell you the price and you can't afford it, it's you've got the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not me for telling you the price of my thing on Instagram, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say. I'm just like, okay, I don't know, man. Like, you know, the guys that post shoes and
like, that one guy. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know when.
Okay, let's leave that alone. Okay, moving on. So I want us to bring this home, right? Because everything you guys are mentioning is obviously happening. We're seeing it all the time. But now, for somebody who's a practicing Christian, right? Things start to get a little tricky because, you know, as a Christian, you are expected to be humble, right? You're expected to be modest. You're expected to... There's certain traits that you're supposed to exhibit as somebody who is a Christian. Is all of this stuff helping us become more of that? Or are we becoming less of that?
Okay, that's very, very open-ended. That's very open-ended.
That's the idea.
I think what I would say to that is... It's really easy to judge somebody else's Christian walk, isn't it?
Don't judge me.
It's very easy to look at somebody's social media and be like, this person is not even of sincere faith. Like, they don't even, you know, cover up. Or, you know, like, it's so easy to do that. But I feel, in my own experience, people are at different levels on their journey. It may be a situation where... I don't know, maybe she doesn't know she's not meant to have cleavage. Maybe she was never taught that. Maybe she's a new Christian. How do you know?
What if she's not? And we know she's not.
Well, maybe she's going through a dip in her faith. Maybe she's going through a dip in her self-esteem. Because that's the other thing about social media is, you know, those likes and those notifications. It's like a drug, you know. And once you get them, you feel better about yourself. So you really can't see from the outside, like, someone's heart. You really can't judge and say, like, oof, I mean, is that really an authentic Christian? Like, what's an authentic Christian? Who is an authentic?
Maybe let's not talk about whether or not someone is an authentic Christian. But let's talk about the perception that is created, right? Because I think the Bible talks about how God doesn't look at the things that man looks at. That's what he says in Samuel, right? That God looks at the heart, but man looks at the outward experience.
Right, yeah.
So yes, God sees our hearts. God knows what's going down, right? You can't, like, you can lie to people and say, I know this is just water, when it's really vodka, right? And be like, he's just drinking water, right? Oh, it's apple juice, but it's beer or something, right? You can close people, but you can't close God. But people see what's going on outside. So for example, if I, like, come out with my shirt off and, like...
Why would you be doing this?
Kid? I don't... Hey, but I've been working out, guy. Sorry. My abs, GGG. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to show them, right? And then it just, like, it becomes, like, a trend. I think, you know, it's okay to ask, Kudasha, what's going on? Is there, especially given the fact that it's something that I never do, right? So I'm just saying... One of the things I think we're supposed to do as Christians is manage perceptions. So what I'm saying now is, where do we draw the line between self-expression and sending the wrong message, so to speak?
No, go ahead.
I think you're assuming that you can actually control the perceptions that you give out with your message. Yes. And that has been proven even since the Bible was written, that people are going to take whatever perception they want, and they happily stoned Jesus for that same perception. Mm-hmm. The guy came in, he showed everybody a better way to live their lives. He healed the sick. He restored those who had things lost to them. And people still thought, blaza, rabbi. And this is the thing, that I think we take on so much responsibility with some of these things that we can't actually control. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just thinking earlier that, you know, the difference between godliness and non-godliness is exclusion. The fact that you think that it's more godly when you exclude people is just a human construction. Mm-hmm. It's like, we've made God into our image, and then we use him as a measuring stick to either accept or deny other people. Mm-hmm. And that, beyond social media, is the human condition, which is the problem more than the bundles and the gram.
Okay.
I'll add to that, and also speak for the other side, that you're right. I think we do think too highly of ourselves in terms of what we can and cannot control. But the Bible does indicate that we actually can control, which is why we're supposed to represent Christ a particular way. Well, at least that means there is some effect that we do know we can have to an extent. If we're asked to behave or represent in a certain way, that means it's acknowledged that it will be received. Some things are received in a particular way, and we can manage that to an extent. We can't control what a person thinks, mm-hmm. but we can help that along mm-hmm. to some extent. And I think that's where the issue is. Maybe in terms of, are those who would be screaming their names so highly while carrying Christ along, are they representing the wider body well? Because it does affect all of us, not just them, even if it's their own expression. It does affect us all.
You know, I think that has actually bred a lot of fake Christianity, because I'm expected to act a certain way. And so when I'm in the, like when I'm at church, I do act that way. Like, I'm so holy and look at me raising my hands. Like, I really praise the Lord today. But when I leave, it's like, no, I'm not about that life, you know. I really think that the whole idea that I need to act a certain way when I'm not that has really bred some really fake Christians. And I really think Christians at this point in our lives need to be a little bit more real. Like I swore that day. It was not good.
I'm not suggesting so much acting. I think acting is already the wrong word
right.
there. I'm talking about being.
Right, but that's the walk, right?
Yes, that is the walk. And it's interesting. I was reading, listening rather, mm-hmm. to, it was Timothy or something. No, it was a random book I never listened to, but they did say, guys.
Timothy is not random. Not
Timothy. Fine. That's why I said it was one of them. Maybe it was Titus. I don't know.
Okay.
But it was a very quick book. And what I found interesting about it was it started off with the letter was saying, let us stop dealing, guys, let's get past the basics. Let's get past the milk, guys. We're now beyond that. If you have to keep telling your brothers to salvation story over and over again, you're not going very far.
Right.
So they were just saying that for some people, okay, let's move ahead. Then obviously there's others who are still just getting into it.
Right.
So now you are moving. You're on that journey. You've been on the journey for a while, for a minute. There are things you know and things you don't know. You know how to, you should have been changed on the inside already to some extent. Let's hope. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you've taken on, we're supposed to walk towards Christ-likeness, right? The characteristics we're meant to begin exhibiting or want to exhibit with our minds changed and our hearts changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying, that's where the question is, would these people be exhibiting these characteristics with their behaviors, mm-hmm. or are they doing the opposite? I'm not saying you have to act a particular way,
yeah.
but I mean, look, all right, fine, if you start following Christ, you should exhibit more love. That's not a bad thing.
What does that
mean? In your way, in your way.
Oh my gosh, what does that mean?
All right.
Because you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, it's a cart before the horse thing. Because your Christian walk is a walk. It's a journey.
It is a walk.
So at no point in my journey will I be the complete, you know, spiritual gifts package. I'm not going to have love, joy, peace. You know, I'm not going to have all of that at some, because
I get you. And I think you're misunderstanding me here. I'm not saying you have the full package day one. And it is a walk, which we walk till our death.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a walk in a direction, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And as you walk, you're getting closer.
Right.
So the way I was when I started and the way I am halfway ought to be getting better. Bumps aside, setbacks aside, generally, God would have you moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So along that path, taking just love as an example, just that, as you know Christ, I'd hope that you get a better understanding of love and you want to be more loving, right? No one should have to do that, but
yeah.
It's kind of, I think, almost going to happen.
Mm.
If you get to know God, you're going to.
Right.
So is it wrong to not expect, but hope for that more from people?
My thing is that I feel like we just put finite concepts on this very ephemeral, very fluid walk, you know, of Christ. Because even in love, you still grow in love.
True.
Even in peace, you still grow in it. So I could be different. I could be at a different level of love than you are.
Yeah.
But you're looking at me like, you're Christian. You're supposed to be loving. You know what I mean?
Like, fair enough. Fair enough.
It's like such a finite concept. Like, you should be growing. And I'm like, I'm still walking. I'm still learning, guys. I only, like, for instance, for me, I only learned about the concept of grace maybe last year. And I've been a Christian. I was born into Christianity.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those. It's just like,
when you combine grace with last year, just certain things that come to mind.
It actually was grace that caused that, but no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
See what you did there.
Yeah. Insta, Grace, Gucci. Anyway, so moving along, right? Okay, you guys are onto something here. I don't know. There's something that Biscuit said that I think is worth considering, which was in response to what you said, where he said, you're walking, but you're walking in a direction, mm-hmm. right? You're not just kind of walking and hoping that something happens. And if you're walking in a particular direction, then the expectation is that you are getting closer, right? Because you're on this journey, right? And added to that, the Bible does talk about us being examples, right? It talks about, I think Paul's telling Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, thereabouts, we're saying, be an example to all the believers in speech, in conduct, in deed, in all these things, which means that there is an expectation. What we should exhibit some sort of, I guess, traits that show what's going on in our hearts, right? So the question then becomes, if we are showing less and less of that, is there anything going on in our hearts, right? And I think that's kind of where the question is at. But I also hear what you're saying, that we are on this journey and we can't exactly put a template.
Yeah, I think what Fuji is saying is that the journey is unique for all 7 billion of us.
Right, yeah.
And you can't expect one person's journey to be identical to yours or like some other person's example that you've seen before. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we wouldn't be unique beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I totally get that. Yeah. But yeah, we're one boot.
So I guess the question, guys, is the question here then is that social media and Insta and all these things, right, that we are doing and posting, like, I've just seen some ridiculous stuff that's made me think, okay, seriously, I don't want to judge you. Like, you're just giving me
you're
too much
judgment.
Right? Where, like, you can just see, guys, okay, I'm okay with Nicki Minaj showing some stuff.
Why are you okay with that?
Because it's Nicki Minaj. I expect Nicki Minaj to do certain things, right? But it's very different, guys. Let's be honest. If you saw, let's think of a... Okay, if you saw somebody who's like a church-going person that you know, and they've got like some... They're like on some Nicki Minaj tip. People are like, sister, is everything okay? Or if it's a dude, right? Let's say I'm chilling, I know Biscuit Chi is a church on. Then all of a sudden you're just seeing these pictures, Biscuit is chilling in like a strip club or something. And you'd be like, plus, is everything okay? So I think that's what we're talking about.
Worse is the hashtag.
Then the hashtag.
Blessed. Blame it on Jesus.
Yeah, yes. God did it again.
He's not responsible
or something.
For that.
So I'm saying that kind of stuff.
Right.
Should we be concerned? Shouldn't we be concerned?
Do you want to take that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tricky to say. I think, you know, social media is helpful because it allows us to see sort of deeper into people's minds. We just happen to see it more out there because they have the platform to say it. But just because it's out there doesn't mean that if it were not out there, it's not actually still in their minds. So it sort of gives us an insight into where people's mind is at. And really, there are a lot of superficial Christians out there who post like just very airy fairy stuff that is almost bordering on just motivational speaking than the spiritual aspect of actually having a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tricky. It's tricky to say. Like, it's like people who say Christians shouldn't club, or they shouldn't go to, like, you shouldn't be seen in places that are yada 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 and all that. And I just wonder, like, when we do that, I'm going to come in my longest skirt to church, but on Friday when you're not looking, I'm going to be there in the club.
Right.
And I, like, we're not trying to deal with things as they should be.
That's exactly what's happening.
We need to deal with things as they are.
True.
So what is it that's getting me from singing and praise and worship on Sunday to the club on Saturday night and then red-eyed back to sing and praise and worship on Sunday? What is that? Are we trying to filter out what we really are for what we should be? And who is responsible for what we should be? Because I feel like we've set these parameters, and then even God can't touch it. Because it's like, no, God, but, like, you know, this person was out last night. So, like, why are you trying to bless them? Why are they getting a new job? Like, I've been praying, I've been fasting, and, like,
nothing,
you know. So it's tricky. The reason we even need God is these very problems that we're limited. We're very limited with ourselves.
So are we saying the problem then is the church?
Yes.
Right. That
the mindset
what we've,
in the church. In
fact, yeah. So I'll just call it the church, right? Are we saying that we've let church become this community which
excludes,
very sanitized,
right? Where we put up certain fronts and facades, and we feel like to fit in and to be part of this group or club or community or whatever, we have to behave a certain way, even if we're not that way.
Yeah.
Is that
possibly? I'm trying to look for the verse.
You know, I think we're going quick to hate on the church.
No, I'm just posing a question.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking we're looking at it from, okay, the church is restricting. I'd like to look at the whole picture and also say the church is kind of pushing that as well. Because these guys are saying the Christianity is a brand for them. And the church is helping that brand. It's not saying don't do it. It's saying go out. They say blessed by your Ben's sake. Favor. It's actually pushing it. It's not necessarily saying, no, don't, you're evil. It's the other side. So I'm just saying, let's the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is so complicated.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated.
Yeah.
I was looking for that verse where Jesus said, I don't remember if it was Jesus. I think it was Jesus, where he said that if someone is healthy, you don't take them to the doctor.
Uh-huh.
Right? But if they're sick, you do. And he was talking in context of the church. Like,
right.
The church shouldn't be bringing in healthy people. They should be bringing in sick people. So in essence, as a church, if, you know, The most ideal thing is that you actually want that person who was at the club on Saturday night to come in on Sunday, because they're the ones who need it the most.
Right.
So, there's really, like what I was saying earlier, it's so tricky. It's tricky because there's really this perception that we need to act and be a certain way when you're in the church, whereas opposed to the fact that when you come to church is when you actually should be real, like, ish. You know, I feel like it would be very interesting if someone was to come to church and say, look, I went to the club last night and I got really, really wasted. Like, and the pastor was really left to say, okay, look, I see what you're going through, but let's get down to the, you know, let's get deeper into that. Whereas nobody's actually having that conversation. Nobody's really having those kinds of conversations.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you're still drinking?
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend who used to do that. Like, she'd be like, you know, I'm just talking to her and, you know, I'm just like telling her my problems and stuff. And she's like, well, you're still drinking. I'm like, no, you're not helping me right now. You know, like, my problems and whether I drink or not don't make me any less in need of that companionship, in need of that encouragement. Yeah. You don't even know what I'm finding at the bottom of the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, and when we get out of the what you've done to the where you are and where we want you to go, you're going to see that it's not so much about telling me what I shouldn't do. It's about motivating the thing in me that's supposed to do better by knowing better, by feeling better about myself. Mm-hmm. So let's not put the Hashtag, my goal is I shall not drink. Let's find out why I'm drinking in the first place. Let's motivate me to see things a different way, to choose for myself what it is that the alcohol is giving me. And then I can decide whether I still want to drink or not. And I can still be connected to God, even if I decide to have a glass of wine on Friday night. Like, I feel like we're still just dancing on the, is it right? Is it wrong? And what do you do that I don't do? Or what don't I do that you do? And does that mean that I'm a higher rank in the Daddy God Club?
I think it's you're so right. Like, there's so much of this hierarchy thing. Like, I don't, you know, go out. As an example.
Right.
Somebody's saying, I don't go out. But people like to judge people because they sin differently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how you can't judge someone because they sin differently than you do.
Yeah.
Because there's no gradients and there's no levels to sins and a sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of a sudden when you're saying, oh, no, but I don't go out, and that person goes out every Friday, you know, you seem like you're the higher person. Or, for instance, we're talking about social media.
Yeah.
So you're not posting you know, with all the girls and stuff. But, you know, they do, and that makes you a better Christian, but it doesn't. It just means that they sin differently than you.
Okay. Opposite. Is it not also true that then people are blessed differently?
Absolutely.
So the same way you're saying against the sinning differently, me going on and say, I'm blessed. And indicating that I'm better blessed than you, making myself higher. Isn't that not the same story?
That's your subjective interpretation of that post. Why did you go there to say, oh, that person is saying that they're more blessed than me? That's your subjective interpretation.
It might be, but it also might just literally be you actually thinking that as you post it.
So it's our own personal problems then. We all need to just, you know, I think, why am I posting like that? And why am I thinking that about that person?
So, like, I hear what you're saying, right? Like, people should come to the church, like, to get, like, help and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're not expecting a healthy person to come to church, right? But there's one unique thing that people miss in that whole statement. Like, when someone comes to the hospital, they come out what?
Well.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
So if you still come into the church,
it's
a journey.
Sometimes they die.
You're admitted, it takes a year or whatever. But there's progress, right? We have to see that you're getting better. We're monitoring your heart levels. People are there checking on you and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Motivating you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come to the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying on Sunday, I'm in church and I'm in my long skirt and all that. And then after that, you go to the club intentionally and you're like, this is the life I want to live. I want to be in the club and at the church at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wear a short dress on Friday night, Saturday night, and on Sunday come back.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't that what Jesus was talking about when he said there's going to be lukewarm people that want both, like one foot in, one foot out.
Right.
It's like when the church then says, okay, bruh, what you're doing is like you're being double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're one foot there, one foot there.
Mm-hmm.
You need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And then people say the church is judging.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really judging when people are trying to tell you, no, the way you're living is not the Christian way. You need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we understand you're going through stuff, but if the Spirit of God is in you, you're going to start like growing, right? Like I remember Kent was telling me the other day, like one time he used to listen to all types of music, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he got born again, nobody told him to do it. But he went and broke all of his CDs because he knew that what these CDs were saying was no longer, in a sense, agreeing with the life he was now picking up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What do you say about that?
One thing I've known or about my Christian walk is God will get me. No matter what happens, no matter what season of life I am in, if I'm not listening and I'm doing double standard, I'm doing double-minded things, he will convict me no matter what happens. So I feel like the church takes on that role. Sometimes they want to be the ones to convict you of your sin.
Convict music.
But I don't think that's not the church's role to convict you of sin. The church's role specifically a pastor's role is to inspire you to faith, right? But you're not meant to convict me. You can't convict me. You can, like, I can tell you over and over again, stop doing that thing. But until the Holy Spirit himself is the one that gets you, you will keep doing it over and over again. So I think that there's
I think that line can be hazy.
Okay, the Bible actually says that you're meant to point, you're meant to rebuke, you're meant to, like, say, look, this is wrong. Yeah. You're not meant to just look at me and be like, okay, yeah, cool, you know, like, I was a clown, yeah, you know. But you then take it a step further as the rebuking pastor. Then you're like, no, you must not do these things over and over again. It's like, I actually know where I'm going wrong. I do know where I'm going wrong. And this is something I'm working out. And I feel like the Holy Spirit will get you no matter what.
So, okay. So the question then for me is this. Don't we run the risk? Because you did mention that the role of the church is not to convict of sin, because I guess that's the work that the Holy Spirit does in someone's heart.
Yeah.
However, the church also plays the role of community and accountability and all of that. I think that's the whole point of being surrounded by other believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
To help you in this walk. And helping takes on several forms.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the forms is that you are supposed to be with a community that challenges you also.
Absolutely.
And sometimes challenging you is telling you where you're going wrong, or cautioning you to say, be careful, because the path you're going down here. The concern, for me personally, right, mm-hmm. The concern is that having a mindset that says only the Holy Spirit is going to, it's between me and God, it's between me and the Holy Spirit, he does what he's doing in my heart, is that we run the risk of having people do whatever they want, right? And people will do whatever they want. But I think we run the risk of just, what do you call it? Using the Holy Spirit as our scapegoat to say, Asha, I haven't been convicted yet. It's like, I'm just...
Let me go ahead.
Just go ahead or something. You know what I mean? And so I guess the challenge for me, and this is a personal thing for me, the challenge is that I'm thinking, so, you know, the Bible actually talks about judgment beginning in the house. It talks about how as Christians, we ought to judge one another. But the judgment it's talking about is obviously not the God kind of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But we should be able to look at each other and say, Sha, you're a brother, you're a sister. Mm-hmm. It's getting tricky,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's part of our role as believers. And Paul even talks about that in the New Testament, where he says he gives an order to get someone expelled from the church because they were continuing in a particular sin, and I think it was beginning to affect the rest of the body.
Right.
So those scriptural references show me that there's something serious about that also. So
I'm just looking at it and thinking, you know, the things that we're never going to get right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about whether you've been to the club or not, because you can think pridefully, and the sin of pride is like witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
You can be unforgiving. Those are bigger things than whether your skirt is short or it's long.
Right.
And for me, I feel like when we start dealing with those things and take our eyes away from that cleavage, it's not so much the cleavage that has the problem, but the eyes that have a tendency to want to undress other people.
Mm.
Right.
So like I'm actually one of those people who's really just like, why can't I wear a pair of shorts if it's hot?
Right.
Because you're going to perv on me. I didn't ask for someone to perv on me, but they're perving on me. It's like, it's my responsibility to take on their perversion,
mm-hmm.
and make it my responsibility to make sure they don't perv on me by putting on long trousers for acceptance. And it's like, at the end of it, whether I'm in my long shorts or my formal skirt on Sunday, Monday to Sunday, God is watching me.
Right.
So when the guard at the shop says to me, oh, Mamukase, you know, and I frown at him because I don't feel like I need to talk to him, that's God watching me. Eh?
Right.
And that's even bigger than this, did I club last night or not? And when my mother says to me, no, Mwanangoso, nditirawo chakati chakati, and I feel like, ugh, whatever, Murugundineta, that's God watching me again.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to say, it's as basic as every single move that we make, every single thing that we do. And I don't think in this one seating we'll come to a conclusion that will be.
And the goal is not to come to a conclusion, yeah. Right? We're not trying to come to a conclusion because, I mean, this is complex. Mm. However, we have to trigger some thought because it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to talk about these things. So bringing it back to the actual social media discussion.
Can I just add a question?
Yeah.
It's been repeated a few times in this discussion, this binary of a person's behavior Monday to Saturday,
mm-hmm.
or Friday, and then their behavior on the Sunday. And it seems we keep saying it, that the person will come dressed in a particular way, speaking right. a particular way, behaving a particular way on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, they're their own way.
Right.
Which speaks of some kind of tension within Absolutely. The mind or the soul of that person. Mm. But it's a tension between two things that they themselves have chosen. Either the world that they were in and the world that they want to get into. If that is the tension, I'm sure there's many others, but let's pick that one. Mm-hmm. If that is the tension, that means that whatever they're seeing on the Sunday must be desirable to them.
Right.
Or whatever is represented right. by that must be desirable. And then the next day they're snapping back. They're at war.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're saying, we should try and get to that root and deal with whatever that issue is.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, and considering that we are limited, and we cannot look into the heart of a man, not really. We can only see the symptoms thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That also kind of suggests that we can only deal with the symptoms. We can deal with the root to some extent, but then the rest is left to the spirit. We can get there through the symptoms. This goes to my question.
Mm-hmm.
If that person is wrestling and they've decided that the other side is where they want to be and is the right place to be,
mm-hmm.
is the church or person from the church, because I also don't like the whole notion of the church myself, but is that person in error for then pointing out that lack of congruency between that person on the Sunday and the rest of the week, knowing that that person wants to be who they are
mm-hmm.
on the Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Are they not therefore correct, or at least more in correctness to say, but Wednesday, this is not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
When I see you kneeling, this is not right. Because I feel like we're also kind of saying that they shouldn't point that out, even though that person's trying to get there.
Okay, I'm gonna read this scripture right here, because I think it talks exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But so in Romans 14, it says, 14 verse 1, it says, "Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak only eats vegetables." So they were basically talking about the debate between, you know, someone who's just entered the faith and they have like their own beliefs, and but you've been in the faith for a while and you've dealt with those beliefs, right? And then it goes on to say, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or a sister," right? And then a bit further down, it says, "So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and anything that is not from faith is sin," right? So this whole passage of scripture is basically showing someone who's been in the faith for a long time might be okay with drinking a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But you, a newly faithed person, a newly minted person,
mm-hmm.
might be like, oh my gosh, you know, how can you drink wine type deal? So it's basically saying, look, deal gently with that person, because they might fall back into it so quickly, right? And I think it addresses what you're saying, because we don't deal gently with these people.
Mm-hmm.
We completely just... you are a sinner, you are damned, you're going to hell type
True.
Thing. Whereas actually, these are the small matters, like he said, without quarreling over disputable matters. Like, these are things that we don't actually, that's not what we should be talking about. Like, it's what Sharon was saying, is that that's not what we should be talking about. That's not even the root of it. Deal gently with that person, okay? But get down to what actually really matters is why, not what. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think it's, we don't deal gently with people's weaknesses and with people's flaws and their faults. We're very quick to damn them. And I think that's where we get it wrong most of the time. I'm guilty of that. I definitely am.
But I want to...
It's the approach, not the intent.
I think it's the approach. I think that has a lot to do with whether someone is going to receive what you're saying or just be like, I'm okay. I'm just going to go back to
okay, so let me just say something quickly. Because another aspect that passage brings up is that don't present a stumbling block.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now... bringing it back again to this whole social media thing, uh-huh. right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is going to come out showing cleavage,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to come out with their new pair of Giuseppes or Jordans and they're like blessed, or their new Bentley or whatever the case is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't trying to go there. But we know this is a seasoned believer. We know this is somebody who's been in the faith for a long... Maybe it's even like a pastor or a prophet or whatever, right? Does that not also present a stumbling block to someone? Where it's like, okay, this person is supposed to be exemplary,
mm-hmm.
right? But I'm seeing the boastfulness. I'm seeing the materialism. I'm seeing all those things that honestly do not really reflect what the Bible says we should be. And it's coming from someone who's a mature believer. Or if it's... And we all know the thing with the sleigh queens and gigi and didi. And they're showing off their new whatever. And I'm not saying people shouldn't, like, I guess, floss their new things. I don't know. It's okay to show what God has done for you, I guess. Can you... Okay, can you just not even...
<A slay-gen. laughs>
So the question I'm asking basically is that don't we run the same risk, right, of pushing people away from the faith by certain things that we do on social media
right.
in the name of self-expression or whatever?
Right. I love that question because I always ask God myself, like, how do you want me to use these platforms?
Yeah.
That's good.
And... there was actually a time where I had that debate in my mind, like, if I tell everybody what you're doing for me, will it not seem like I'm showing off? Like, I had that question I asked God. And then I think it was that same chapter in Romans where it says that whatever you do should be to the glory of God anyway, whatever you do, right? So that means that you're eating, you're drinking, and you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I'm very subtle in it, but I'm always like, if something happens, like right now, I'm going to go and I'm going to post about this and be like, oh, it was so great that God gave me the opportunity to be on this podcast. Or
right.
if I travel to SA and I get a speaking opportunity, it's so great that God aligned things, you know, for me to be that way. And it's actually great because there are friends of mine from, I don't even want to say from my past because they're still in my life, but who are not necessarily Christian,
mm-hmm.
right? But they know that, look, if I need to go to church, I'm going to call Vui
right.
up because I know she's about that life, right? But
yeah.
I never, ever, like, there's one of my friends who's very close friend of mine, she's not Christian at all,
mm-hmm.
at all. But she knows I'm about that life,
yeah.
right? But I've never, ever bashed her. She knows that I'm not with certain things, right? But you don't ever bash somebody and be like, because I think that I think you said it earlier, that we Christians make Christianity so airy-fairy and
yeah.
so unrelatable. Like sometimes someone will come on there and they'll put a scripture in King James Version and a non-Christian will not be able to relate to that, right? So I think that we need to make Christianity authentic without diluting the message.
Mm-hmm.
And while still being able to show the standards that you live by, and while still being able to give glory to God
yeah.
through, you know, social media. So I think just be real, man. Like, you don't need to, like, I don't need to know your theology and, like, you know, I don't need to know. Just be real about who God is. And God is just real. He's so simple to get. So,
yeah.
And start by caring. Something that I found works is to use social media to care
yeah.
right.
about other people. So, you know, you could just write and speak against things that are passionate that you're passionate about. But then I think if you see that so-and-so is posting, I wish I could die right now, more than what it is that you have to say about what God has done to bless you, go into that person's inbox, just start a conversation with them. And not from the point of, oh, I pity thee and therefore, no, but like understanding, no, guys, really people are going through real things out there. So more than me needing to tell you how much my new Benz means to me, I think let me look out for the other person. And in a way, your things just keep increasing. Things are always going to be there. We're going to keep getting more things. That's kind of the God that we serve. He will bless us with the fullness of the earth. So let's move away from, oh, and therefore I've been blessed by the we know it's a standard. It's part of what's there. But is your heart okay? Because some people have billions in the bank and they're miserable. So it's not about what you have that's going to be a sign of, oh, how blessed I am. How blessed you are reflects on how well you think of yourself. Because how you love yourself reflects on how you're going to love your neighbor. So if you're too busy trying to be a slave queen with your long nails for $50 and whatnot, but at the end of the day, you hate yourself. I like, as destructive as it may look on social media, but the bottom line is, your heart needs to be okay. And when your heart is okay, then you don't care about the nails, because they're not even the most important thing about you being here today.
That's so good. Wow. Biscuit. No, man, this has been real. It's been good. I've liked the different angles. And just getting to hear the different perspectives that people have, you know, and I think you guys have brought in a nice balance. We can never exhaustively, you know, discuss this, because there's just too much to discuss. But I think, as we all say at Raging Culture, that we don't claim to have the answers, but we like to point each other to the truth. Then you can do your own research, you can do your own digging, you can do your own thinking. Cool. So I think for today, we have to end it. Thank you guys so much.
Yay.
Thanks for having
us. You guys
have
been amazing.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.